Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Clint McPherson, and today I'll be flying solo. But before I introduce our special guest today, I want to remind you to subscribe to our podcast and to our mailing list through our website so that you don't miss out on all the free resources we have to help you start and grow your business. With that said, we've got a very special guest on the show today. She's the CEO of Victorious PR, a media agency that helps entrepreneurs, real estate brokerages, mortgage companies, and solar businesses get featured in industry-specific publications, local press, podcasts, and top publications to be seen as industry leaders in their fields. She often talks about how companies and individuals leverage digital PR to not only increase their visibility, but also directly grow their revenue. Our guest has also been featured in over 200 publications, including Forbes, Entrepreneur, Yahoo, Finance, TV, radio stations, and the TEDx stage. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome our special guest, Victoria Kinney, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Happy Labor Day.
For sure. Thank you so much, like I said offline just a second ago, for joining us here and sacrificing some of your Labor Day and really helping us add value in what we're doing on our podcast.
Absolutely. Even though it's Labor Day, the hustle doesn't stop.
It does not. And that's true entrepreneurship, right?
Yes.
Even when there's a holiday or whatever you want to call it, there's really no downtime as an entrepreneur. You just keep the grind going, the hustle, and you just make it happen, right?
Absolutely. It's this inspiration that keeps us going, right?
100%. So Victoria, I really appreciate you being on today, but can you take us back to when your entrepreneurial journey started and what it is about entrepreneurship specifically that keeps you motivated, keeps you fired up, and just keeps you moving every day?
Ooh, that's a great question. Yeah, I guess I wasn't one of those kids who was like selling things and had a lemonade stand and was like always trying to hustle for a dollar. No, I was trying to sing. I loved to sing. And so me and my sisters had a little girl group going on. We were these like four sisters and we'd sing to country music because we were from the Nashville of the West, you know, and I guess that was entrepreneurial, but it was more creative. And I think a lot of times people are told, or at least I was told as a little girl, and even still now, it's you're either a creative person or you're a business-minded person, but you can't be both, right? How many times have we heard that? You're creative. So you must not be able to start a business or run a business. And I believed that. I thought, oh no, I'm a creative person. Business isn't for me. Entrepreneurial life isn't for me. This is what I'm doing. But what I didn't realize, and a lot of people don't realize, is that to be a successful artist, you have to be a bit entrepreneurial. You know, you're arranging your tour schedule. You're arranging who's buying your music. You're doing the marketing for your own music, especially as an indie artist, which is what I was. I mean, there's a lot of entrepreneurism that comes from that. So it was this thing that I had growing inside me that I didn't know was a superpower until that skill arose and I needed to use it.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, we've had a lot of individuals that had like music backgrounds and have been like you just said, it has entrepreneurship involved in it and connected to it. It's just, you know, viewed differently. But at the end of the day, you got to do it, right? Like you said, you got to make sure you're on top of your schedule. You got to make sure you're doing all of this stuff. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's on you, right? Whether you have somebody that you hire to manage that stuff for you, like an assistant, but I mean, a virtual assistant, a person that's there with you. I mean, it's straight up entrepreneurship at its finest as an artist, right? I mean, it's just, again, viewed differently. I mean, I even see the actors in it that way too, right? I mean, when you look at it, it's on them to make it happen. Yeah, they're going out there and trying out for this show or doing that or going through the rehearsal, but like they're grinding it out. And again, they're doing the hustle and then they're up at crazy hours of the night, like going through the script and doing all this stuff to try to get it. So it's like creativity, like, and whoever told you that back in the day, like you have to be a creative person or a business-minded person, that's crazy. Because entrepreneurship we get to, the reason I like it is one is because we get to tap into our creative side, right? Mm-hmm. Like yeah. The creative side is what, like when you were young, right? Like what do you want to be when you grow up, or when you're drawing stuff, like you're coloring. I mean, it might've looked ridiculous going to look at it now, but we have that creative side that kind of, as we grow up, we lose touch with.
Yeah.
So you have to be creative. And I love you kind of touching on that for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So don't ever stop being creative, and don't think that because you want to do business, you can't be creative, or you can't have one or the other, because you can definitely have both. You don't have to be a starving artist, right? And that's another sort of myth of, oh, if you're an artist, you're going to starve for the rest of your life.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be so.
For sure. I mean, like you said, it's all about the hustle and grind though. But like, I think if there's a will, there's a way, right? And as long as you're pushing through things and all of the misconceptions and everything that comes along with it, you know, all that's clutter that just gets in your way, and you just got to learn how to navigate through that, right?
Absolutely. I found the first year of actual business to be the hardest, because it was brand new, right? I didn't know anything about starting my own business. So it was this learning curve. But the biggest thing that happens, I believe, for myself and for other entrepreneurs, is all of the mental garbage, all of this old self-talk, all of these people being like, who are you to start a business now? Right. I was a successful opera singer. I was touring in Europe, had a number one hit single. I would branded myself as this opera singing gal, you know, and then I come back to America and I'm starting from scratch. Right. And I'm thinking, I'm going to start a real estate marketing business. What? I didn't know anything about real estate.
Right.
And so I was embarrassed. Like all these people on my feed and in my Facebook thought that, oh, look, she sings opera all over the world. And all of a sudden I'm like, I can help you with your buying and selling needs, right? I can get some leads for you. And it was scary. And I think that's the biggest thing entrepreneurs have to overcome is other people's expectations of you and your own limiting self-doubts. Once you clear those, and it's going to take about a year, like it is hard. Once you clear those, honestly, the sky is the limit. Honestly, you're unstoppable. It's just getting out of your own way. That's what you're really doing in the first year of business.
100%. 100%. That is, we're our own worst enemy at times, right? Like whether you have an ego, whether you don't have an ego, whatever it is, but like you just said, we have to get out of our own way because we are the one that really limited the self-doubt that comes in, the imposter syndrome, whatever you want to call it. All of that creeps in because, again, like you said, you're an opera singer, and then now you're trying to sling real estate, and everybody's like, what? Like, I'm following her and she's this. But at the end of the day, like if that's a passion of yours and you get into that, you can find you find a way to make it happen. And then it's a good tie-in to like customers knowing you, liking you, and trusting you, right?
Mm-hmm. Your brand is the most important thing, the most important digital asset that you could ever cultivate, ever. So I was doing real estate marketing, right? And here's the thing about following your passion. Real estate marketing was not my passion, right? It was not my passion. But something inside told me, Victoria, you're going to find your passion on this path. Like keep falling, this intuition, which we shouldn't deny, guys. My intuition just said, you know, real estate marketing, you don't really care about it, whatever, but it's teaching you valuable lessons. It's teaching you how to grow a business. It's teaching you about others in the industry. It's teaching you all these valuable lessons. Keep going. So I followed that still silent voice in the back of my head and I kept going. And look, it led me to what my true passion is, which is PR. Right. And I wouldn't have done that if I would have just been like, oh, I don't care about that. And I'm just waiting for the perfect moment to feel inspired. No, inspiration is a daily choice. It's daily rituals and habits that you do to provoke inspiration. That's what I believe.
I love that 100%. And Victoria, as an entrepreneur, right, we all know that customers most likely buy from individuals or companies who they know, like, and trust the most. That doesn't always lead to a sale, but if you can get those three together, you have your chances of selling or growing or making an impact just increase insurmountably, right? So what gets me agitated to a certain point is that there's still too many businesses, and I'm in the digital marketing world, right? That they're relying solely on the word of mouth engine to just go. Like if they build it, they'll come, they satisfy one customer, that customer talks to Bob, the Bob talks to Sally, but that only gets jump started. And that's the best type of marketing for sure. But is it going to spread like you need it to really jumpstart your business? Can you touch on a few ideas or methods that can be used to attract new audiences that are interested in our message? Like if you're a newly or person just getting in the game or even just been in the game and you're trying to get a new message out there, can you talk about a few ideas that can help attract new audiences?
Absolutely. So as I said before, getting your personal brand out there is the most important thing you can possibly do. And I'm going to give you an example. I was doing real estate marketing, right? Real estate marketing. And I blew up. I started doing PR for myself, right? My marketing friends like yourself took notice and they're like, Toria, if you're doing this for yourself in the real estate niche, can you help me with mortgage? Can you help me with solar? Can you help me with all of my niches? And I thought, of course I can. For me, it was something I intrinsically knew how to do because I did it for my music. I knew how to reach out to journalists. I knew how to get on the cover of magazines. I knew all of that because I had to do it for music. So for me, it was very easy, a skill I didn't even know I had. So when I got into it, do you know why I was able to make 6 figures in 3 months? Do you know why I was able to make 7 figures in my first year in business and PR? Why? Because people already knew, like, and trusted me because of the work I did in real estate. They knew Victoria was killing it in real estate. She's a great, you know, CEO. If she can do that well in real estate, what can she do in PR? I'm going to trust her. I didn't have a product, right? I didn't have all these testimonials, but they knew me, they trusted me. So for anybody starting out, if you're pivoting right now, if you've just recently pivoted, rely on the power of your personal brand. See, look what I've already done, right? Look at how great that already was. Imagine what I can do for you now in this new niche. And you do that by constantly showing people, like, these are my wins. This is what I'm working on. This is the value I'm providing. I call it, it's the 80-20 rule, right? Whenever you're posting on social media, 80% of the time, you know, post those funny memes, post pictures of your dog, right? Of what you ate. But 20% of the time, it needs to be pure value. This is who I helped. This is what I've done. These are the steps that you need to do. And if you want to make it in PR, real estate, whatever your niche is, right? So that people come to see you as a true thought leader. So now it's you're psychologically telling them you're an expert, you're a leader. They start referring you to people. They start building your personal brand. You start reaching new audience inadvertently because you are being your product.
I love that. I mean, I really think, again, it's so important to put yourself out there, right? Mm-hmm. That self-doubt that clouds individuals and entrepreneurs from time to time, because one, entrepreneurship is or can be lonely, right? But it's just about surrounding yourself with the right group of people. Whether it's mentors, whether it's friends, individuals that are hustling and grinding and on the journey with you, you know, employees of your business, whoever it is, I really think it's all about, you know, getting rid of that self-doubt and putting yourself out there and utilizing the 80-20 rule, right? Like if you're already posting stuff on social media, obviously you don't really care. Like, you know, you want people to see that type of stuff. But you also want people, right, to separate yourself from that is really showing them your wins, right, and your losses at the end of the day. You know, I mean, and that really builds the trust when you're really more open with everybody. Mm-hmm. And it kind of throws, like, you know, if you're just flashing the wins at them all the time and say, look at me, but then you could also be real and show that real side of like, hey, guys, it's not always about the wins, right? You can continue to move with a loss and continue to pivot, right? So I was talking about this yesterday. I was at a friend's house and we're just talking about business in general and him being on a podcast. And I was just talking about like pivoting, right? Pivoting so huge.
Oh, yeah.
So many people that throw in the towel, so many people that quit instead of taking a loss and just saying, look, this might not be the path I need to take. But at the end of the day, this is what's on my heart. And so instead of just throwing in that towel, let me pivot and figure out how another route in another way that I can actually add and create value for the people that are already following me, that are already in my network. And that, you know, once you really start focusing on the value that you bring to the table and what you can add, doors start opening up, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love the idea of podcasts, right? I'm on a podcast. I get a lot of my clients on podcasts because they understand that how valuable it is to tell their own story in their own words. You know, right. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Like here, we're on this call and I told you I pivoted from real estate, right? Which is not something you would know about me if you just found me online.
Right.
But I'm able to tell that story. And that's why I encourage all of my clients and anybody who's listening to this, like, get on podcasts, get your story out there, become a real person, because it opens you up to a new audience and a new side of yourself that other people may not get to see of you.
Yeah. I mean, and there's also questions that podcasters might draw out of you that like, hey, I haven't even shared this with my audience before. And now I'm actually sharing it on a podcast. And if you want to learn more about this, go listen to this episode with so-and-so. I mean, a lot of that, again, it helps build and continues to not only let people know who you are, build that trust. Then once they can kind of, they already can relate to you, but then they're like, oh my gosh, like they've been through a very similar journey as me. And now I'm even more in tune or more connected with this individual. And so again, inadvertently, they're going to be more willing to throw dollars at you as long as you continue to add that value, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the same goes with publications, right? So what makes you stand out from your audience? You know, everybody is posting on social media, everybody's running paid ads, but if you can get into publications that have stood the test of time, publications that have been there for hundreds, you know, 100 years plus, whatever, and say like, this publication has trusted me and has published my story, then you're leaps and bounds ahead of your competition. Then you become a category king. Imagine if somebody puts in like, I want to learn how to be a Facebook ads coach, or I want to learn about, you know, be a lifestyle coach, whatever it is that it is you do. And your name pops up first on Google, and not from you, not you tooting your own horn,
right?
But in like Forbes magazine, Entrepreneur magazine, saying this is the guy. How powerful is that? 100%. You've just owned Google. Yes. You've just dominated the market. You are the number one authority in your niche. That's what's going to separate you from everyone else. Because at the end of the day, anybody with a dollar can run an ad, but not everyone can get into these publications. And 100%. That's why PR is so powerful.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a good tie into my next question, because over the years, which I briefly touched on during the introduction, right? You have yourself appeared in multiple publications that have led to hundreds of dollars in revenue, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, can you share with us how to become famous within a specific niche and how to turn the old school world of PR into an exciting revenue generating channel as an entrepreneur? Because for me, before you actually answer that question, like when I got into the digital marketing space, and then I met my first PR individual when I was downtown, and then it was like old school PR. Like it wasn't like they were like pushing that stuff. And I'm sitting over here in the digital world, I'm like, you know, there's another way to do this, right?
Yeah.
So can you touch on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up that question, because there's a lot of like people don't understand PR, right? They think it's like old school. Do you mean just newspapers? Is that what you mean? I'm like, no, right? But then they also, you know, who has gotten a message on Instagram from somebody in a third world country saying like, pay me money, I can get you verified. I get you on Forbes India, right? So it's like, we've all gotten that. And so it's this big discrepancy. What is PR? How do I do it right? And I'm going to tell you, it's not going with PR agencies who charge you, you know, $20,000 a month retainer with no guarantees. That's traditional PR. And it's also not hiring these people where you can get one-off articles. What's that's going to do for you?
Right.
Unless you have an entire brand strategy of this is where I'm going, this is how it fits in with the strategy, like you're wasting your money. What, you know, if you don't know how to leverage your Forbes article, then you shouldn't have gotten that Forbes article. And by the way, if all of a sudden you've never been impressed, and then the next day you tell everybody you were on Forbes, that is a red flag that you bought it. And that totally doesn't make you credible.
Right.
And the purpose of PR is to make you appear credible. So it needs to fit in with your overall branding story. Take your audience on a ride with you. For all of my clients, right, we have an entire structure we put them through where it's like, first, we're going to start small. We're going to start small publications. We're going to get you in some industry specific blogs. We're going to get you on some podcasts. We go bigger and bigger and bigger until we build them up to present a case so they can earn Forbes magazine. They can earn Entrepreneur. And now their audience sees it. It's like, man, I saw you when you were in Digital Journal. I saw you on that podcast. And now look, I've seen your entire journey. Now you're on Forbes and they're celebrating with you.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just about where you get. It's about the story you tell and getting there.
I love that. I really think like you just mentioned, I mean, I just picture momentum in my head, right? It's about building that momentum or the snowball effect from starting small, right? And not just going straight to Entrepreneur or Forbes and again, like kind of lose credibility because one, it's in Forbes or like, you know, Entrepreneur India or whatever, you know, I don't even know if that exists, but could. And at the end of the day, it's like, what? Like, how did you get from here? Like you own a small business or downtown and now they're talking about you here. Like, come on. But like you just said, strategy is so important as an entrepreneur when you're starting a business, not only for PR, but just business in general. Like having a strategy, knowing who your, you know, your target demographic is, knowing like how to roll out your services properly to where you can build like a staircase method or where they can build off of each other. There's so many things that people overlook. Again, like they get the I'll build it, they'll come mindset because it was on a movie one time and, you know, it was like, this happened. And you're like, come on, guys. Like at the end of the day, strategy is so overlooked that that's a big, huge difference between the success and failures of a business, especially when you're new to the game. And then especially when you're starting to dabble with new things like PR or like digital marketing, right? I mean, hey, you want digital marketing? I'm going to put a strategy in place that I've implemented. You know, it's going to differ from time to time, depending on your niche. But at the end of the day, there, it's almost like a replicatable process, right? Yes. Same way with PR. It's like you got to start small. Then you start getting those little wins. And then now it starts turning into huge wins. You're like, whoa. Now my audience is really buying into how valuable and all the additions I'm adding to their journey, and they can see me grow and they're on the ride with me, right? They're holding on to the rocket. We're all going to space together. They're strapped in and going with me.
Exactly. Exactly. It's that story that you tell. Don't forget, it's take your audience on that journey with you. Take them on the ride with you. Have them see you start small and get to those top places and then keep going. That's going to do better for your branding than anything else.
100%. And I really think documenting, and I know Gary Vee's big on that, or at least getting that word out there. And he has the team around him to be able to do that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, too, I really think it's important, again, documenting your journey and not always like, hey, I just got a webinar, jump on it. Or, hey, do this, go look at my new product. It's like document the things that you're going through, the fun, the trials, the tribulations, everything in between. I think the more you document, and again, that again helps build that trust engine, that word of mouth, that loyalty, and it gets more people in your corner because they want to know you're a real person and not just this robot that has a team making everything happen. And you get on and say, "What's up, guys? This is me. Check my new video out," right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's all part of it. And you know, whether you know it or not, what you're doing when you're including them, that's PR. That's 100%. Public perspective. You know, it's marketing. I'll tell you the difference between marketing and PR. Marketing is saying, look at me. I'm cool. Everybody. I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm cool. And PR is having someone else go, hey, trust me. He's really cool.
Yeah.
Right. What are people going to agree with more? For sure. Don't forget how powerful that is. Having that third party testimony. And you can easily get it. Everybody knows at least 5 people. I bet we all know 5 people on our friends list who have somebody who either has a podcast, writes for a publication. All it takes is one post to get out there and to get the ball rolling.
Dropping that name, right? It's like, again, you know that person. Sometimes you got to tap them on the shoulder and make it happen.
Exactly. That's what this world's all about.
So Victoria, I mean, through your entrepreneurial journey, I mean, we've all experienced highs and lows. It's a roller coaster journey from time to time. Sometimes, you know, I've been in the position when I was new in the game to where I wanted to walk away, right? Because it is tough. And sometimes, you know, the comfort that comes with like a corporate job or just a normal job in general, to where you can get that paycheck or whatever it is. It's just one of those things that a lot of people, again, throwing a towel too early. They quit their entrepreneurial journey. But what has been the most difficult thing for you during the process about being an entrepreneur?
The most difficult?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, it's been difficult. Don't get me wrong. Being an entrepreneur is every day you're going to have to solve a different problem. Every day. And you have to wear all the hats. You have to know a little bit about marketing, a little bit about sales, a little bit about everything in order to be successful, right? So it's a lot. But, you know, they say that there's two things that drive entrepreneurs, either inspiration or desperation. And I can tell you, when I first started, it was desperation. It was, oh my God, I just got kicked out of Europe. I can no longer sing opera. Americans, it's not like opera jobs are growing on trees in America, right?
Right.
So it was this desperation. It was, God, give me anything. I'll say whatever you want to show me, I'm going to take, I'm going to go all in. Right. So the first year I felt I was running off desperation. And I'll be honest about it. Right. And if that's you, that's fine. That's what I used. It wasn't until I got into my second year of business where I started PR, where I felt truly inspired, where I felt this is my thing. This is what I'm really good at. This is what I'm passionate about. But don't be afraid, you know, to use one of those two fuels, right? They say what fuels us is either fear or, you know, love. And so desperation, inspiration. So if that's where you're at, that's where you're at. I think a lot of people fail because they're not either desperate enough or not inspired enough because, well, their job's cushy enough. Well, they're still paying the bills. And this is how we, and to do the larger perspective, this is why America, people in general are very easily brainwashed. This is why corporations can take our money. This is why governments can control us, because they give us just enough freedom so that we're just comfortable enough that we don't protest. But here I'm trying to tell you, if you ever want to make it in this world, you're going to have to raise your voice and stand for something. Entrepreneurs, you're going to want to fail many, many times. People are going to yell at you. People are going to demand refunds for work that you've already done and were really great at. You know, you're going to have some months where you completely fail. But what are you going to do? Are you going to sit on your couch and think, well, I'm just comfortable enough and always stay in that mediocre lifestyle?
Right.
Or are you going to rise up and say, hell no, I deserve better. I can do better. I can achieve better. I believe in myself. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to drive. I'm going to cry. I'm going to have a beer, whatever. And then I'm going to keep going. Who are you? It's your choice.
Love it. So can you give us a few steps? Like, so, hey, say I'm a new company. I could be an established company really for all that matters, or an established entrepreneur, but don't know too much about the PR world. I mean, what do we need to do? Do we need to get in touch with Victoria? I'm sure, because you are the expert in this area. Or what are some actionable items or actionable steps somebody that's listening to this show can actively take after they listen to this, whether it's reaching out to you, whether it's, you know, going and honing something in before they reach out to you? What are a few things that you would recommend that our listeners can actually do after this episode?
Absolutely. So I'm going to give your listeners some great tips and tricks. And so write this down, guys. These are going to be actionable steps you can take away with. But just so you know, me and my company, Victorious PR, we help people no matter where they're at. I mean, we have packages in all shapes and sizes. We help huge, you know, multi-million dollar companies, seven-figure companies, six figures, and people who are just starting out, because you really do need PR wherever you're at in your journey. You really do. That being said, if you are just starting out, or even if you have a business, this is a good checklist that I'm about to give you right now that you can just check and see if you're hitting all those marks. So first things first is you need something called a profile funnel. I don't know if you've ever discussed this on your show before, but a profile funnel is basically just that. You know, they call sales funnels and funnels, all this stuff. Well, you're going to use your social platforms, Instagram, Facebook, to drive people to send you a message, a DM, to get their contact information as a lead, right? That starts with having a good cover photo, which is going to say exactly what it is you do and who you help. Because here's the thing, guys, you only have 3 seconds to impress somebody. Three. When somebody lands on your page, they're going to make a decision about you on 3 seconds. So if I don't know what you do in those 3 seconds, you've lost me as a lead. Okay. I am not coming to your page. I may think that you're the best photographer because you take photos of family, but that's not going to make me want to spend money with you. Right? 3 seconds. You need to have a nice cover photo. You have to have a great bio and have your byline say exactly what it is you do and who you help. Right? Cultivate it that way. Then you're going to do the 80-20 rule, which we just talked about. 80% of the time, post your personal life, 20% post value. The third thing you're going to do is a mission post. A mission post is one of those colorful backgrounds, which always get the most engagement, by the way, if you didn't know that already. And on these colorful backgrounds, you're going to say, which one of my friends do I know has a podcast that I can speak on? Because I'm an expert in real estate, or I'm an expert in coaching. I'm an expert in high ticket sales. Who do I know on my friends list that has a podcast I can speak on, or has a blog that would like to feature me. Whatever it is, I guarantee you, you're going to get comments of people tagging other people, or you should talk to so-and-so, or actually I have so-and-so. This is how you start, guys. You start from the ground up, but you don't do it until you have a great profile funnel so that if that podcast host comes to your page, they don't think that you're just this crazy person. They say, oh, hey, they have a presence. They know who they are and what they're doing.
I love that. I mean, I really think that right there can get some started, right? And I love that you had that checklist ready and available for us, and I appreciate that. But, and Victoria, as we wrap up this episode, we usually ask if you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice, what would it be? But maybe today it's more fitting for, like, you know, just that one piece of inspiration or something that would just continues, that maybe works for you, but maybe can inspire somebody else. What would it be?
I would just say the biggest thing is mindset. It's never, oh, I don't know where to start. You know where to start. There's YouTube videos, right? You know where to start. There's this amazing podcast that we're listening to right now. You know what to do. I would just say, don't forget, it's not that we're risen apes, we're fallen angels, right? We have divinity inside us. Like, you are incredible. I wish I could just shake every person on the planet and say, like, you are so awesome.
Yeah.
I truly believe if every homeless person fundamentally knew how incredible they were just to be human, like, they would just rise up, you know, brush themselves off, go to Goodwill, get a suit, and go get a freaking job. They would, because if you really knew how incredible you were, the fact that you're a human being alive in 2021 and have endless possibilities, you can buy a course on Coursera for $10 and learn how to code, right? And get a six-figure job coding, or like starting your own business. You can literally go onto your website and start a business like today. You know, you can't do that in Italy.
Right.
You can't do that in other countries, but you can do that here in America. You're so fortunate. Just think about it. Whenever the road gets hard, think about how grateful you are, and grateful you are to live in this country in this time that you can start anything. Realize that you're incredible and you're capable of so much more than you even know. I know that's a lot, but that's what I like to leave you all with.
No, I love that. I mean, that right there is touching in itself. But Victoria, I think that's a wrap for this episode. And I want to thank you personally for taking the time of your day to join me and adding value to what we're doing on our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's really been a pleasure. And thank you all so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Victoria is working on, check out victoriouspr.com. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe to our podcast. And don't forget to download our free book about the success mindset at thatentrepreneurlife.com. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.